Matthew chapter 20, we have a picture of a busy vineyard owner. The pressure is on. There is so much to do. And he wakens up this morning and he looks at the work that has to be achieved within that vineyard, and he has insufficient workers, and so he must go out in order that he might find the labourers. And he scours the streets and he goes to the marketplace, and throughout that day he is not only keeping a careful eye on what is going on within the vineyard, he is also on the lookout for workers, for labourers. And then, at the end of the day, when the work is done, he hands them their money. And they have all agreed the same wage, a penny for their labouring. And that caused what we would call today a bit of an industrial dispute. But nevertheless, the word of the master was final. And so let us think about this, the labourers in the vineyard, and discover what we can learn from this parable the Lord Jesus Christ related. In the first place, we have the representation. What does this vineyard represent? What are the lessons that we are to learn as a church from this vineyard and from the labourers therein and from the master? Well, we are told in verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard." So the Lord is giving us a picture of his kingdom. And he's giving us a picture of his kingdom in every age. And so it is quite clear that the vineyard is the kingdom, God's kingdom on earth. And it is also clear that the householder, the man who owns the vineyard, that is God. And therefore, with that in mind, what this vineyard represents is the kingdom of God in every age. From the early days, Israel, right through to the Church of Christ, in these last days, we see the vineyard in all of its facets and in all of its aspects. You see, God establishes a kingdom in this world. In the Old Testament, the kingdom was Israel. And there were kings, and there were prophets, and there were priests. But in this New Testament age, the kingdom is the church of Jesus Christ. And we are the kingdom. And this is a universal kingdom. It is a kingdom that transcends national boundaries and frontiers, goes across borders. It is a kingdom that brings together people from different ethnic backgrounds, people from different languages, makes us one in Jesus Christ. It transcends cultures, languages, borders. This is God's kingdom on earth. This is the vineyard today. And we are but one little corner of that great vineyard. Now, what is a vineyard? A vineyard is a place that has been cultivated out of the wilderness. And this was particularly true in Israel. We think of how dry the landscape can be. We think of long seasons of drought. And the vineyard, especially irrigated, is looked after, it's cultivated. And there is the production of the olives or the grapes. Both were known as vineyards. And they were a highly productive and highly sought after crop. And those that had good vineyards could become quite wealthy, because whether it was the grape or the wine that was produced from the grape, or the olive, the oil produced from the olive, these things were at a premium in society. But in order that the grapes or the olives might be harvested, the land had to be reclaimed from the effects of God's curse. Of course, that's true of all land in general. New farmers know that you have to look after your land, you have to care for your land, you have to cultivate your land. And if you left it alone, it would soon become a wilderness. And at one time it was a wilderness. At one time this country was filled with forests and with bogs and with that which was unproductive, unsuitable, that which would yield nothing for feeding people, but the trees had to be cut down, the bogs had to be drained, the land had to be cultivated in order that we might have this rich countryside that we have today. And whenever we think of all of that, we think of what God does within the church. Because God's kingdom is a territory within this world that God has reclaimed and cultivated for himself. Ground that has been reclaimed from the wilderness of sin. In the Old Testament, we see manifestations of this. Abraham was reclaimed from the paganism of Ur of the Chaldees. The children of Israel were reclaimed from the slavery in Egypt. They were preserved in the wilderness. They were constituted a nation in that wilderness there at Sinai. They were given the land of Canaan in order that they might make it a rich country, a land flowing with milk and honey. And there is a word for the way in which God reclaimed Israel from paganism and from heathendom, from their own sinfulness. The word is redemption. They were a redeemed people, set apart to be a vineyard, fruitful, a vineyard, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom that God would establish as a theocracy, governed by himself, for himself. In this New Testament age, the kingdom is not so much a physical nation. It's not a physical nation in any way. In this New Testament age, the kingdom exists in the hearts, the minds, the souls of men and women saved by grace. Lord Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of God being within us. And the church of Christ is made up of people. People who have been redeemed from the wilderness of sin. People who have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed in order that we might be a vineyard. Redeemed in order that we might bring forth fruit unto God. As we assemble in church today, those of us who are saved, we are a company of people that God wants to be a vineyard. A people whose lives have been transformed in order that we might live for God. Called by God to serve him. Just as this householder had established this vineyard, so God has established us, set us apart for a great and noble purpose in this world. With this wilderness of depravity that is all around us, we are called to do something worthy for the Master. And so that is the representation. Let's also think about the recruitment. Because this Master's Day, this day which was very busy, perhaps it was a day for harvesting. Harvest would have been a very busy time of the year. Perhaps there was some other work, labor required that was requiring great intensity of manpower. But we know this was a recruiting day for him. And he started off early, because we are told that in the verse 1 that the householder, he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So just as dawn was about to break, he was out there looking for the laborers, looking for people to come and work for him on this day. And so he continued to work through the various hours. We're given the hours, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, right up to the 11th hour. There he was going out hiring laborers. He was gathering together a people to work in his vineyard. And this day, this one day that Christ is talking about, this is descriptive of God's work in all ages, calling a people, gathering a people to work in his vineyard. Now the early workers, they were what we would call the Jewish church. The early workers were Abraham. Abraham was an early worker. Even before him, we could say that Noah was an early worker. Early workers in the vineyard. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they were all workers. Workers in those early times, in those early hours of the day, brought in to work and to labor. And in the Old Testament, we have the records of their labor and of their industry, the words that they were given, the truths that they treasured that have been passed on by the inspiration of God's Spirit to our generation. But we are the later workers. We're the Gentiles that have been brought in. This New Testament age. The later workers that God has called. And a late hour of the day, He has brought us to work in the same vineyard. The same vineyard that the prophets of ancient times worked and labored in. It's just the same vineyard. The vineyard has developed a little since then. The years have ticked on, but still, we're here in the same vineyard, serving the Master. And the whole point is this. We are called to labor. The Master was recruiting people to labor. He wasn't recruiting people to sit idly by. He was recruiting men to work in this vineyard. And as Christians, we are not merely called to occupy a pew. We are called to work for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. And we are called to labor in order that fruit might be produced. Fruit in our own hearts and our own lives. The fruit of the Spirit that Paul talked about. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. The gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the temperance, the self-control. Fruit that will be a witness to others. Fruit that will attract others into the kingdom. We are called to produce fruit, to be productive for the Savior. We are called to be a people of the Word, who will not only read the Word, but live it out. Practice it in our lives. A people of prayer, who will give ourselves to prayer. Who will give ourselves to the cause of God, unstintingly and without reservation. There is a variety of work to be done in a vineyard. There would have been the pruning at certain seasons of the year. There would have been the watering, the irrigation. There would have been the harvesting. There was something for everyone to do, and there were in various sections of this vineyard. And so we have the laborers going, being given a section, being given a task of work, and so they would labor and fulfill their part, whatever the Master wanted them to do. And there is a variety of work for us all to do for God. We all have our own skills. We all have our own talents, our own abilities. We all have our places. Our places of employment, our places of business. We all have our homes. We have our church lives. We have our devotional lives. We are to be busy for the Savior. Wherever we are, whatever day of the week it is, we're not to be a one-day-a-week Christian. A one-day-a-week Christian and not a Christian. That's not Christianity. The whole purpose why we're here is to worship God. Given the food, given the sustenance, given the support to go out into the week and serve God for another 6 days. That's our calling. And we are called out of the marketplace. Do you see how he went to the marketplace on occasions? And he went to people that were idling. Do you see that? Even in the 11th hour, he went and he said, "Why stand ye here all the day idle? There's work to be done." You see, we are either idle or we work. We're either lazy or we're industrious. But we're not to be sitting about frittering away our time. Life is too short. It's very symbolic that there is a day here. A day goes in so quickly. A day goes in so quickly. A day can so easily be lost. And another day and another day. Our lives are so short. We're to use the time God has given us. Not squander it. Use it for Christ. That we might hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I also want you to think about the rewards here. One penny. One penny. This would have been the general pay rate at this time for this kind of work. A penny. And it doesn't sound much to us, but it would have been a standard day's wages. And the workers in the vineyard, they agreed to the contract. They would go in, they would work, they would get their penny. And there would be that reward, there would be that payment at the end of the day. But where did the penny come from? The penny came from the Master. The penny didn't come from a fellow worker, a fellow labourer. They were working for the Master. The reward was his to give. Of course, that's true in our employment. We're called to to serve the one that pays the wages. We do what we're told, we do what we're instructed. Follow orders, follow directives, follow policies, follow procedures. Very important lessons that we must inculcate into our children and young people, the importance of obedience, because if one cannot obey, one cannot serve. But ultimately in the Master's vineyard, we're called to serve the Lord. He is the Master. It is His well done that we are interested in. Harry Ironside was a great Bible preacher and evangelist of a bygone age. Whenever he was a boy, he learned a very important lesson. He would work for a cobbler. And even in those days, he felt the importance of serving Christ wherever he was. And so he would put gospel literature into the shoeboxes and send the literature out to the customer. He would do things like that as a boy. He showed something of his zeal for the Lord. And he had a Christian master who didn't mind that type of thing whatsoever. But the work that he had to do, making shoes, was a very labour-intensive work. The cow hide was brought in for the soles of the shoes. And the cow hide was soaked in water. And then it was pounded and pounded and pounded until it was dry. And the drier it was, when the shoes went out, the more hard-wearing the soles would have been. And then he saw another cobbler working, and this cobbler was doing things totally differently. Yes, the cowhide was soaked, but he was nailing the leather on wet. He said, "Why are you doing that? That's not how I was taught to do my job." And the other cobbler, well, he said, "Well, if I do it this way, the customer will come back quicker for new shoes." And Harry Ironside talked to his own boss about this technique. And he said, "I don't make shoes for a few cents and for a profit. That's part of it. I do it for God's glory. And I want to know that when I stand before God, that He will look at me and say, 'You made those shoes well.'" The young man learned a lesson. We're serving God wherever we're at. We must remember the lesson. But let's also think about the restriction here. Because there only was one day to serve. Only one day to serve. And that day would quickly pass by. One day, brethren and sisters, all of our opportunity to do God's work will be gone. And for some, that day will come quicker than others, but none of us knows when. The sunset of life will come. The Lord Jesus Christ, He talked about His day being short. "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day," He said. "The night's coming, but no man can work." One day, we'll not have any opportunities to read this word on earth. We'll not have any opportunities to pray on earth. We won't have any opportunities to reach lost souls. We won't have any opportunities to sit in church and sit in prayer meetings. The day will be gone. But as we look back over the course of that day, will we have given our all? The fact is, not one of us will have given our all. All of us will have held something back because we're not perfect. But let us be inspired, encouraged, and challenged to make greater use of the little day that God has given to us. But even at the 11th hour, there was still opportunity. And this is the encouraging thing, because the Master is going out and He's speaking to these people in the 11th hour. He's saying, "Why stand you here all day idle?" And they say unto Him in verse 7, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." There's still time, He said, there's still time. And here there is hope for those that have failed. Hope for those who perhaps have held something back. Hope for those that have been preoccupied for too long about other things. Hope for those that have backslidden and lost out with God. There's still time. Even at the 11th hour, there's still time. Still time to do something more for God. Every time, every moment, it's a gift that God has given to us. Let's use that gift. And then there is the rule. The rule was a very hard rule for some to learn, because the wages were being received and everyone got a penny. It wasn't an hourly rate. It wasn't even a daily rate. It was just a rate for being there. And so there were those that had been labouring in the morning, and they had felt the heat of the day, as they said. And the sweat was upon their brow, and they were tired, they were weary, and they saw these other people coming in at the 11th hour, and they got a penny as well. And so they brought their dispute, their grievance to the master. This is not fair on us. We're all getting the same wage here. And of course, the master made it very clear. I'm the master here, not you. This is my rule, not yours. You all agreed a penny, you're all getting a penny. This is the contract. And we might look at this and we might say, does seem a little unfair. And of course, the Lord was teaching a really important lesson, because the Jews took such great pride in their pedigree, in their ancestry, in their background, where they came from. And they thought they were better than these Gentiles. And the Lord was saying, all are equal in my kingdom. All are part of the vineyard. And then this reminds us of something really important. The penny was not for the work that they did. The penny was for the fact that the master had called them. That's why the penny was given. And we are given a really important lesson here. The reward that we receive is not for the works that we have done, because the very best that we do will be filled with failure. We are not saved by works. We're not saved by our prayers or by our Bible readings or by our church attendance. We're not saved by the dedication we might feel that we give to the things of God, because if we were saved by that, we'd never be saved at all, because it would be so full of sin and pride and imperfection and shortcoming. We are saved because God brought us into the vineyard. And therefore, the reward is the gift of His grace. And everyone equally receives that gift of grace. Everyone equally. And in closing, let me ask you, have you received the gift of God's grace today? Has God's grace come and filled your heart and filled your soul? The 11th hour may well have come in your life. And still you're without the Lord, but can you be saved? Yes, you can. And you can be saved now, because there's room at the cross for you. And the Master is calling you to come to the vineyard. And so will you give your life to the Lord today? And will you receive that love that He alone can give? And whenever we all reach heaven together, we will be there because of Christ and because of grace. No other reason. Christ alone. We will never be allowed to forget that throughout the endless ages of eternity.